If you're a fan of immersive audio fiction, you won't want to miss out on these shows from Pakhal Media. The Madness of Chartrullian.
Will this world accept my vision of the future? Or is all of this a mistake?
The Nebulous Saga.
You killed my family.
They killed mine.
And for 10 years, I have been making the Alliance pay.
Tales for Howling at the Full Moon.
It is not my worth that brings me here. It is my calling.
Another day, another chosen one.
To learn more about our shows and find out how to support independent creators, visit PakhalMedia.com.
Welcome to Tales for Howling at the Full Moon, a microfiction anthology podcast with stories ranging from the weird to the whimsical and featuring many of Pakhal Media's good friends and collaborators. The episodes feature stories prompted by and released during a full moon. For this Beaver Moon episode, I'm thrilled to introduce a short story called Take Shelter by one of probably the most notable voices in indie horror audio fiction, B. Nahr, who you may recognize as the voice of Faulkner in The Silt Verses or as Dee in Tiny Terrors Telling You Scary Stories. When not voice acting, Bee is an awesome writer specializing in queer horror and all things monsters. In particular, if you're looking for something you can take home that you can touch and it's physical, you can buy their book Hollow Bones on Amazon right now, and I'm going to put a link for that in the show notes. Now, here is one of the loneliest stories you will ever hear. Take Shelter.
No one is coming for you. It takes you 2 winters to grasp this in its fullness. 2 long, unbroken winters, with acrid winds and black skies and the thrumming echo of air raid sirens. It is still winter, the 3rd by your count. But it's quiet now. No one is coming for you. You call them anyway, like you do every morning. It's never morning here, not really, but you like to pretend that there are fluctuations in the hazy twilight outside. Just like you pretend that there's a chance of a familiar voice, or any voice, answering the phone. You know better, of course. It just rings, and rings, and rings. It's not even their voicemail anymore. And you wish so desperately that you would have thought to record that while you still had the chance. But still, it's nice to pretend. You imagine them running errands, letting their phone die while they pick out grocery store flowers and wine for dinner. You imagine a kinder world. No one is coming for you. They had told you they were at the beginning of things. They were far away and they couldn't get to you right now. But they called and told you to find a safe place to meet. Up in the mountains, far away from the burning rains. Maybe that little hunting cabin you 2 rented on vacation a few years back. You know the one. They would meet you there once the train started working again. Or when they could hitch a ride from someone kind and desperate. That was the last time you spoke to them. You don't remember if you said, "I love you," or not, before the call ended. You've reimagined that conversation so many times that you can't be sure. It eats at you. No one is coming for you. You say, "I love you," over the endless ringing and hang up. You have other things to do. Repairs to make. Traps to check. Life has not stopped unfolding before you, despite it all. Sometimes you wish it would. But the world is quiet enough already. This is as close to stopping as things will ever get. You count yourself lucky to still have rabbits. Or something that used to be rabbits. They are shivering, furless things now. Pink skin stretched painfully thin over gaunt frames. You're not even sure how they've managed to survive out here. Maybe the same way you have. Surviving is simply the only option available. You stop, and you listen. The shrill scream of a trapped animal cuts through the silence. You wonder if someday this will draw unwanted attention to you. It happens regularly enough. This should worry you. You can't bring yourself to care anymore. No one is coming for you. You give the thing that used to be a rabbit a merciful death. Reset the trap and start the long walk home. You fantasize about them finding you by following your trail markers. They were always better at this stuff than you were. They were the one who led you along these trails on that vacation, lifetimes ago, identifying birds and plants along the way. You imagine them wandering up through the blighted woods, unchanged since you last saw them. And they would say, "Thank God, I finally found you. Things are going to be okay now. Things can go back to how they were." The sky rumbles above you. Another storm is coming. You pick up your pace. Even though you're on the edge of the fallout zone, the rain still burns out here. By the time your little cabin is in sight, you're at a full sprint, the knot rabbit slung over your shoulder as you scramble inside. Back against the door, you catch your breath as you hear the rain start to fall. No one is coming for you. You process the knot rabbit by candlelight, idly watching the storm through the kitchen window. It feels routine, something close to comforting. You like to imagine this is for a potluck later, that all your old friends will be coming over in a few hours, dashing from their cars to your door, raincoats shielding warm bread and fruit salads. They'll all be relieved to be together in your warm, dry house. The candlelight will be romantic, not a necessity. And you will all laugh too loud and spill your drinks and pawn off leftovers on each other. Even when they are all gone, you won't be alone. You and your love will agree to leave the dishes for tomorrow, content to bask in the afterglow of the evening together. There is no afterglow tonight. There might never be again. You might always be waiting, and you will have to find a way to be okay with that. No one is coming for you. Wait. Through the window, you see a figure in the far distance, barely a silhouette in the growing darkness, stumbling through the trees. It is distinctly bipedal, slow, human. There is another person outside. They are not moving towards your cabin. Panic grips you when you realize that you'll soon lose sight of them. It is still raining. You can't tell who they are. You just know that you need to catch them. You drop your butcher knife, barely remembering to grab your coat on your way out the door. It's impossible to see them out here. You only have your memory of a general direction to go on. You start running anyway. Polluted rain stings your exposed skin. Low-hanging branches in your own traps slow your progress. You call out for the first time in years.
Hello? Is anyone out there?
The rain drowns you out. You keep calling. You keep running.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You don't recognize the voice. But you keep running towards it all the same. You call out again. They call back. Again and again, a feverish call and response barely audible over the storm. Until you are face to face with a stranger. They're poorly dressed for the weather. And without a word, you usher them under the makeshift umbrella of your raincoat. They accept the offer in kind, huddling close. You feel the warmth of another human being, and a sob hitches in your throat. You swallow it back. There will be time for that later. There's always time for that. Right now, you turn to them and say, "Hello. Would you like to come inside?"
Take Shelter was written, performed, and sound designed by B'Nahr and features Aud Andrews as The Stranger. Opening music was provided by Alexander Miller. This has been a PacHow Media original production. You can learn more about our other shows, The Madness of Chartreulian and The Nebula Saga, at PacHowMedia.com. See you next full moon.